You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So as I told the class meeting group on Wednesday, I had been struggling with this particular message for about 2 weeks. Not because it's a difficult subject, Palm Sunday is pretty straightforward, but precisely because it's so straightforward, and as I look back on my notes from Palm Sunday's past, it's the same story over and over and over again, and I had an issue with that. How to present Palm Sunday, the story that we're all familiar with, in some kind of new and interesting way posed a bit of a dilemma for me. And so I put it aside and let it go for about 6 days, and as I was having my morning prayer time, God spoke to me the way he does in that still small voice, and he said, "Why are you trying to rewrite my story?" It's not your story, it's my story. It's not about you sounding interesting, it's about the Holy Spirit doing the work that the Holy Spirit does as we repeat over and over so that we never forget, so that we tell our children and they tell their children that this is his story and we are witnesses to it, and therefore it needs to be told. In the same way, every single time the opportunity comes up, the gospel message needs to be told. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. And so we're going to talk about the triumphal entry of Jesus this morning. And whenever we do that, we have to go to the Old Testament prophet Zechariah, who prophesied about this event hundreds of years before it actually took place. And that in and of itself is miraculous. And if that doesn't hold anybody's interest, I don't know any way to spin it that would make it more interesting than just to tell it. So, hear what Zechariah prophesied. He said, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And I will eliminate the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be eliminated, and he will speak peace to the nations. And his dominion will be from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth." Isn't that remarkable? As we witness in the gospel lesson this morning from Mark, Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a colt. They brought the colt to Jesus and put their cloaks on it, and he sat on it, and many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." It's a wonderful word, Hosanna. It's Aramaic. This is quite the spectacle. People are making over this man Jesus. And you can almost hear the murmur in the crowd, could this be the king who will deliver us from the hands of our Roman oppressors? Look, he's riding on a donkey, just as the scriptures foretold. It has to be him. It has to be the Messiah, the king, our deliverer from the promises of old. What a remarkable spectacle. The thing is, we have the benefit of being able to see the whole gospel. The shouts of praise and joy are soon going to turn to shouts of anger and disappointment, frustration. Because what the people couldn't understand as they watched their king riding in on a donkey, as Zechariah had foretold, what they couldn't wrap their minds around was that Jesus was not an earthly king. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the church at Philippi the kind of king that Jesus really is, and how you and I should emulate him with a spirit of humility. Listen to what Paul writes to the church at Philippi. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so we have to contemplate this spectacle that we're viewing as Jesus is riding in on a colt, fulfilling the prophecy of the coming king, the Messiah, that would lead the people out of oppression. Have you ever been disappointed because your expectations were unmet? Have you ever been discouraged because what actually happened was not anywhere close to what you had expected to happen? Or is it just me? When that occurred in your experience, what was your reaction? Did you become angry or frustrated or depressed? Did you want to lash out at the source of your shattered expectations? We like to shoot the messenger, don't we? Did you want to blame someone for your disappointment? See, our human condition puts most people in a position where we are all prime candidates for disappointment regarding our expectations. Very often, when dealing especially with things of a spiritual nature, that disappointment comes from our expectations being far too low. We aim too low when it comes to things of God. We make God smaller than his capability. And the people were disappointed that Jesus didn't come to overthrow their Roman oppressors, not realizing that Jesus came to overcome sin and death, and that Roman oppressors were really small potatoes to Jesus. Isn't that an interesting term, small potatoes? I wonder where that comes from. Roman oppressors were nothing compared to overcoming the big obstacles in the human condition, sin and death. Jesus came to fix the big issue. And so they had rolled out the red carpet for Jesus, and then in their eyes, he didn't deliver. They praised him as king, and in their minds, he didn't live up to the title. See, as Christians, for most of us, Palm Sunday is this kind of bittersweet thing that marks the beginning of Holy Week as we get closer and closer, step by step, to the cross of the crucifixion. It seems that Jesus is just getting the praise and honor that is due him. But then we read ahead. We take our list of scriptures and we read the whole narrative, that just as Jesus said again and again, he would die on the cross, and then 3 days later, he would rise from the dead. I mean, when you think about it, can you fathom the love of a God who would do that for you? Can you let go of your human expectations long enough to consider yourself the way that Christ thought of himself? He had equal status with God, but he didn't think so much of himself that he would cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. I guess in today's vernacular, he had privilege, but he didn't stick with the privilege. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and he took on the status of a slave. He became human, and having become human, he stayed human. He didn't vacillate back and forth. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life, and then he died a selfless, obedient death, and not just any kind of death, the worst kind of death, one with humiliation and flogging and taunting and mocking, and then he hung on a cross until he died. And because of that obedience, God lifted him high and anointed him and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings, not just here on earth, but in heaven also, even those long dead and buried, everyone will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, and all means all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. Do you see, church, that Palm Sunday is a gateway into the Jerusalem that is our own heart and mind? I'm going to say that again because it's not the kind of sentence that you normally hear in everyday talk. Palm Sunday is a gateway into the Jerusalem that is your own heart and mind. It's an opportunity to consider just what exactly are your expectations of this man, Jesus. As we enter this Holy Week today, and we begin our final steps with Jesus to the cross, what are your expectations regarding Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Is he an earthly king in stories of long ago? Or is he the living Lord of all creation, including you and me? Is he your personal Messiah, or have you made him something less Have you aimed too low in your expectations of Jesus? The people had it right when they were crying out as he rode in on the donkey. They were saying, "Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." They had it right as they proclaimed him the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And that word Hosanna, that Aramaic word, it means salvation has come. Tell the person next to you, salvation has come.
Salvation has come.
Salvation has come. Hosanna in the highest means let all the heavenly hosts, the angels and the archangels, who even now this morning join us in worship, let them join in our song of praise. Salvation, salvation, salvation has come. Hosanna in the highest. Salvation from sin and death. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, let all God's people say, Amen. Amen. So our third and final hymn, 'Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.